Welcome to Main Street for this Monday. Hope your weekend was splendid. I'm Eric Detheridge. I'll be pinch hitting for Craig Blumenschein over the next couple of weeks. And here to help me today is a name and a voice you're probably familiar with if you've been a Prairie Public listener for some time. Now, if not, let me tell you a little bit about our retired former director of radio, Bill Thomas. Everybody, pretty much to a person, has compared him to Mr. Rogers. He has that kind of aura. He's the kindest man you'll ever meet. And given his background in his former career of early education, he's always showed interest in what young people are up to. He's been a judge at the annual Poetry Out Loud competition in Bismarck for a few times now, and today he brought back some audio from some of the participants from this year's competition back in the winter. And also you'll hear an inspiring speech from educator and advocate Prairie Rose Seminole, who addressed the participants.
Thanks, Eric. Hi, I'm Bill Thomas. Well, today's about poetry for the next hour or so. And so before we get into the preview, the particulars of what's going to come up, let's do a poem. This is Madison Vick from Bismarck High School.
Under the Harvest Moon by Carl Sandburg. Under the harvest moon, when the soft silver drips shimmering over the garden nights, death, the gray mocker, comes and whispers to you as a beautiful friend who remembers. Under the summer roses, when the flagrant crimson lurks in the dusk of the wild red leaves, love, with little hands, comes and touches you with a thousand memories and asks you beautiful, unanswerable question.
Not perhaps quite the harvest moon thought you were expecting, but poetry can do that to you, switch you around a little bit. Today's program is occasioned by the statewide poetry presentation, poetry recital contest called Poetry Out Loud that's done in North Dakota and all the states of the Union, actually, leading up to a national contest. Today we'll hear more poems that were presented at the Heritage Center in Bismarck in late winter. We'll also hear from Prairie Rose Seminole's address to the students and the audience there about poetry and the place that it can have in our lives, and particularly as young people. Very interesting talk. But let's start with an interview with the statewide champion.
My name is Aspen Geist. I am from Winemere High School in the town of Winemere, North Dakota.
And what got you interested in doing poetry out loud?
Well, to be honest, when I was in seventh grade, it was mandatory, but I found out that I really enjoyed doing it, even with all the jitters. It's kind of my roller coaster ride.
So this year, you won the state championship for North Dakota Poetry Out Loud. Were you happy with the poems you picked?
I love all the poems I picked. They really touch close to my heart. One is about a graduate leaving college, and as a senior in high school, I can really relate to that because it's my year of last, but I'm really excited for my year of first.
The Graduate Leaving College by George Moses Horton. What summons do I hear? The morning peal. Departures now. My eyes let fall a friendly tear and bid this place farewell. Attending servants come, the carriage wheels like thunder's roar to bear the pensive seniors home, here to be seen no more. Pass one more transient night. The morning sweeps the college clean. The graduate takes his last long flight. No more in college seen. The bee, which courts the flower, must with some pain itself employ, and then fly at the day's last hour home to its hive with joy.
And tell me about the other ones.
The other one is Spring in Wartime, and it's about how even when the modern world is crazy and we're fighting against each other, the spring still goes on, the world still turns, and I think that's a really beautiful metaphor to look at, and it kind of just lets you play with your emotions a little bit and interpret it how you want to interpret it.
Spring in Wartime by Sarah Teasdale. I feel the spring far off. Far off. The faint, far scent of bud and leaf. Oh, how can spring take heart to come to a world in grief? Deep grief. The sun turns north. The days grow long. Later, the evening star grows bright. How can the daylight linger on for men to fight? Still fight. The grass is waking in the ground. Soon it will rise and blow in waves. How can it have the heart to sway over the grave? New graves? Under the bough where lovers walked, the apple bloom will shed their breath. But what of all the lovers now parted by death? Gray death.
So that's two. What about the third one?
The third one is To a Bride. It's about a deaf poet writing to her deaf friend who wanted her to sing at her wedding or before her wedding. And it's just kind of like, that doesn't really make sense, but I love you and you're beautiful and I love getting to be happy when I perform. And this one gave me a chance to be smiley and kind of be in like the love headspace because you love your friend. And that's kind of why I chose that last one.
To a Bride by Mary Towles Pete. Thou askest, oh my friend, a song today, but what soft note, what subtle melody can thy young heart's delicious joy convey? In life's enchanted lyre, one chord alone can thrill thee with the music all its own and fill thine heart with one most perfect tone. What need, then, hast thou that I sing to thee? June roses for thy bridal, fair to see, are sweeter music than my notes can be. And songbirds flitting through the fragrant air, and stars that gleam like living eyes from where thine own turns soft in thy troth flight, prayer. Then silent, sweeter than all varied sound, shall fold thee soft like loving arms around, for life's most perfect gift thy heart hath found.
So if you do theater, then you're doing a whole play. When you're doing a poem, you're doing something that's typically a minute and a half, 2 minutes long. So many of them are of that kind of length. I mean, there are poems that could go on for hours, but most of the ones, and certainly the ones in Poetry Out Loud, are of a shorter length. What's it like to concentrate down instead of on like a role in a play on a poem that's 60 seconds long?
That's kind of a hard one. People might look at them and think they're very similar, but when you really get down to it, a poem is about not just every line, but it's about every word, every vowel, how you're going to pronounce it, how you're going to start a sentence. And you really don't move around. You really have to use your voice, your face, and your hands to convey a very short story, but very powerful. While theater is more about working with other people to get a whole story across, usually more for entertainment, but I love it because yes, you also think about all the little parts. How am I going to say this word? But you also get to think about moving your body around, how you're going to work with other people. And I love working with other people on stage. So it kind of gets your head in two different spaces, which is kind of challenging at times, but it's very fun.
So tell us about how it works to choose a poem, because there's a bunch to choose from, but it's not the whole world of poems, right?
Yes, this year we only had about 200 poems to choose from, which seems like a lot, but when you really go down to the
And we should say again, you don't do your own poetry.
No.
You do poems by published poets.
Yes, so you have to choose when you cannot write your own. So my process is usually going to whatever genre of poem I'm feeling like doing for my class, and usually that's something either with love or with war, because those are very strong and heavy emotions, and they're usually very close to each other, which is something I like to play into. However, this year you just had to go through and read them. So it kind of starts with judging a book by its cover, reading the name, seeing if you recognize the author, but then you have to go and be like, okay, do I understand what this poem means? Does it work with what I like to do for storytelling? And I see myself performing this once, twice, three, four times or more.
Poetry Out Loud does emphasize trying to find the meaning in the poem. How do you work on that?
I think the meaning in the poem is kind of like you have to read between the lines, because it might say something for one stanza, but then when you read the rest of them, you kind of get an understanding of, oh, you know, this sounded so happy, but you know, the rest of the poem is almost sarcastic for the subtle uses it uses. Because if you say it and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this person, you're going to talk and use specific language when you're happy about it versus when you're almost being sarcastic about it. And that's kind of something you have to do just through rereading and rereading and practicing.
So this process of being in Poetry Out Loud obviously makes you work on poetry and pay attention to poems and do that. What do you think about poetry in American life in general, the place of it? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I do. I feel poetry in the American life is very important because everyone has emotions. No matter how strong or how soft they feel them, everyone has them. And you need to learn how to express your emotions. And poetry is a way for you to learn how to understand emotions through reading someone else's. And the more you read poetry, the more you kind of understand your own, and you can get into a headspace of, okay, this is how I feel. What can I do about it? And go from there.
So now you've memorized these three poems, performed them very well, and become the statewide winner. Can you ever see yourself reciting these poems again sometime? I mean, you'll go to the national contest and do it there, but, you know, with some friends or something, would you ever do that?
Yeah, I can. I actually have a friend who, when I started doing the classroom competitions with, the first year I did a poem and it was about writing a letter to a sick friend. And then the next year she did it. And I was just on a call with her a few weeks ago and we were talking about it, how sometimes we'll just pick up poems from our past and start memorizing them again, start reciting them while we're doing the dishes or something. And it's just something that sticks with you like a song. It gets stuck in your head and little things will remind you of it and you just want to do it again.
Our 2026 statewide Poetry Out Loud champion, Aspen Geist. I'm Bill Thomas with Poetry, a special on poetry today on Main Street. Poetry Out Loud is put on by the North Dakota Council on the Arts with support from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation, and this year, America 250. And one of the things they do every year for the statewide showdown is bring in a speaker. And this year, the speaker is Prairie Rose Seminole. We'll hear first a segment, and later on in the show, another segment from her talk. Prairie Rose is an enrolled member of the MHA Nation in North Dakota. She's a Ricara, Northern Cheyenne, and Dakota. She's an advocate for Indigenous rights, cultural preservation, and storytelling. She's worked on a local, regional, and national level. She currently lives in White Shield, North Dakota, with her, at last word, 10 horses and 6 dogs. She starts with a prayer of greeting in song.
Hey, Haraphne, 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 Raphne, Yaho, Holly, Hope, Ho, Ya deco, Hina, Ya deco, Hina, Ya deco, Hina, Ha, Yahola, Ho, Ha, Ya deco, Hina, Holly, Hope, Ho. How's your doing, Doggan? Hello, my relatives. I just wanted to open with a prayer song that aligns our spirits together. Poets, you did something extraordinary today. You stood on stage under these lights with your heart probably racing, and you carried someone else's words inside your body with precision, emotion, and care, and that's no small thing. Because what happens here today is not just a competition, it's communion. Poetry is one of the oldest technologies that we have as human beings, long before microphones, long before classrooms, long before stages like this. We gathered in circles, we gathered around fire, we gathered around tables, we gathered in halls and church spaces, places that are holy, and places where we just needed to share. We shared words that helped us grieve, help us celebrate, help us protest, confess, and help us dream, or just let our minds wander. I do come from the MHA Nation here in North Dakota. Storytelling has been a part of my upbringing. It's how we remember who we are. We didn't always have written language. So our words carried our memory. Our words carried our medicine, and words continue to carry power. And every single one of you stepped into that lineage today. So some more truth. When you memorize a poem, it also memorizes you back, right? It changes the way your mouth moves. It changes the way you breathe and the way you understand silence. As a filmmaker, we use silence in our films because it allows us to pause, reflect, allows you to deepen the emotions that are coming at you and how you're feeling. So regardless of the outcome, you've all crossed this incredible threshold, knowing what it stands like to feel in your voice while a room listens. And that knowledge cannot ever be taken from you. Especially in a world that often asks you to be quieter, possibly smaller, more agreeable. You chose projection. You chose presence. You chose courage. Not a lot of us do that. Poetry is something you carry far beyond the stage. It isn't something that we perform. It's something that we practice and how we pay attention, how we tell the truth, how we witness the world around us. I want you all to know this. How you showed up today, we're already winners, right? And that's a part of incredible leadership that'll carry you forward in life. And there's so much life left to be lived. My ancestors lived here long before borders were drawn and before we were forcibly removed from lands we call home. This place continues to hold the story of my blood, though, my lineage, my people. One of my great-grandfathers was a Dakota chief, Pahatanka. His English name was Francis Bighead. Born around 1838, he was forcibly removed from Minnesota with 25 families in his band and pushed to what we now call Standing Rock here in the Dakotas. I'm an enrolled member of the three affiliated tribes. So somewhere along that journey, people traveled and met and fell in love. But my bloodlines are heritage here to North Dakota. Arikara, Dakota, Northern Cheyenne, been listed, but I'm also German from Russia, which is a proud stoic heritage my mom has passed down to us. And it's truly an honor to be here with you all today. It's a very powerful space to be sharing story, to sharing poetry. It's not often I get to share about my writing, especially poetry, which has been a creative outlet for me since I could begin to write. As a preteen, my mom would probably describe that I destroyed my bedroom walls with poetry, vandalizing her house, I'm sure. But I would call it just a girl trying to survive in a chaotic world. I shared a room with my twin and my younger sister. and we had Sharpie bleeding into the drywalls. For them, my sisters, it was images. For me, it was my favorite lines or original lines, usually some angsty poetry, decorating our spaces, trying to make sense of the world. Because before I had language for grief and anxiety or even joy, I had poetry. At school, I had incredible teachers who encouraged my reading. I actually won an award in fourth grade for reading over 300 books. The Fargo Forum gave me $25 and a Garfield sticker suction cup plushie for my window. But also at school, we would hand make chapbooks in our young authors groups. I don't know if those are still in existence. Do you guys have young authors groups still in your schools? Man, I should bring those back. Those were powerful spaces, I think, in reflection on them. In our young author groups, we would share our stories, sometimes angsty poetry, in spaces that felt safe to share our words without embarrassment, with encouragement and feedback. We might tease each other later as teens, but we would share and hold each other's words in confidence, which I think is rare space today, especially for teens. In those spaces, I look back and I realize those are the spaces where my interior world actually mattered. Teachers who are no longer with us, ooh, I didn't think I'd get emotional about that part, like Mrs. McGuire, held and nurtured those spaces. Later on, Mrs. McSparren or Mrs. Mom would guide us into developing our own books, keepsakes that hold our youthful, sometimes hopeful, often angsty still, voices. Poetry gave me a place to put feelings sometimes too big for me. I lost my father, yeah. I lost him as a teenager. And my grandparents too, so I was kind of a moody teen. But it was creative outlets like theater and writing that saved me, where I could personify someone else's voice, project someone else's story, put emotion into action, and live that out. Those creative spaces and writing saved me, truly saved me. They were the exposure therapy that I needed. When you can talk about it, you can start to heal. Whether it was the grief or anxiety, you evolve those emotions from the experiences that you're having to write about joy, to appreciate gratitude. So I want to read a poem, but this poem is called Leave It in the Landscape. I've memorized the lines of this landscape, the rolling hills of grasslands, the edges cut by the water that rolls softly into the shores. These lines, memorized like lines of a song, a melody that ages as you age, the type of song that teaches you complicated layers of love, sorrows of loss, and the almost moments every time you hear the words. Then every time you sing it, lines you could sing with your whole being to make you give all of yourself to whatever is worth your life. Lines, when whispered, allowing you to leave lost there in the landscape, among the grasses, sage, dogbane, and roses. Leave it there, within the earth that calls you home. A tune that calls you back to remind you how full life can be, maybe even complete your soul, and for certain, show you what you're made of. This land, like a melody, where earth and sky sing to you. Now I often write about my horses or my dogs. I might start writing about cats. But I wrote this one this last winter before I lost her. Kizliar, her name in Turkish means girls or red cliff. Oh, I didn't think I'd get emotional about this. And if I could show you her, she was a deep red bay colored horse with a beautiful blaze on her forelock. My dear, sweet Kizliar, my elder matriarch, this winter hasn't been easy, and yet you're still here, graceful, loving. The way she looks at me sometimes, there's something about a senior horse that pulls at the heart. The once powerful muscles soften, the sleek coat turns gray, and the step that once thundered across the open fields now move with quiet determination. Age has changed you, but it has not diminished you. An old horse carries the wisdom of miles traveled, lessons learned, and storms weathered. Their eyes, her eye, hold the stories of a lifetime, of youth spent running, of bonds built with those who cared for them, of patience and understanding that only time can teach. Much like them, these old horses, we too feel the weight of the years as we grow older. Our strength may fade, our reflections may change, but our spirit, the essence of who we are, remains. It lives in the kindness we share, the love we give, and the wisdom we might pass on. So a prayer to the old ones, these old horses, and all of us walking the path of time. May we honor those years, embrace the changes, and carry our stories forward with the same quiet grace.
The words of Prairie Rose Seminole. She's an inspiring educator and advocate and co-director of the short film We Ride for Her. She kind of referred to that earlier. It's about a women's motorcycle group that rides to bring attention to the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. We'll hear more from Prairie Rose in the second half of the show, and you'll have the chance to enjoy more recited poems from the North Dakota Poetry Out Loud competition, which took place earlier this year. I'm Eric Dethridge. Our former director of radio, Bill Thomas, will guide you through it all. But first, let's catch you up on this news.
For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster. A community health initiative in Grand Forks is being revived with new collaborations and a deeper understanding of residents' needs. Mike Moan reports.
Live Well Grand Cities is a coalition of Grand Forks residents and leaders, from public health workers to business owners, leading outreach and policy projects. A couple of decades ago, it started under a different name, but organizers say the effort stalled during the pandemic. Co-director Shiloh Previty says they've regained their footing and are promoting healthier lifestyles through food skills classes and community gardens.
We also support a couple of traditional Indigenous native plants gardens throughout town, so there's like different specialty crops.
The coalition was involved with Grand Forks recently becoming the first North Dakota city to achieve Blue Zone certification. It's an opportunity through a national partner that brings together work sites, schools, restaurants, and other local entities to help make healthy living easier and accessible. I'm Mike Moen.
And there's been a lot of discussion about data centers, and there's been some opposition to them. But Minn Kota Power Cooperative CEO Mac McLennan says he's been talking with some farmers about those centers.
I'm like, how many of you guys have green tractors? Big number of them raised their hand, and I said, how many of you guys have those little yellow domes on your green tractors where you're collecting information about every square yard of your field? And all that data then being processed to figure out what is the seeding pattern, what is the fertilizing pattern, what do we think all that is? That data being managed, and it's also being manipulated, and it's also being sent back to say, hey, this portion of your field is deficit fertilizer.
McLennan says data centers are big users of electricity, and he says the key will be to keep electricity affordable as the demand rises. For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster.
The 34th Annual Missouri River Bluegrass Festival returns to Cross Ranch State Park June 19th and 20th, featuring the Waddington Brothers, Jesse Burdick and Alt Country, and more. Saturday workshops invite attendees to bring an instrument and learn bluegrass songs with featured bands. More information is available on the Missouri River Bluegrass Festival Facebook event page.
I'm Bill Thomas, and we are listening to poems and talk about poems from the North Dakota Council on the Arts Annual Poetry Out Loud Contest for high school students. Earlier, we were listening to a talk that Prairie Rose Seminole gave to the students and their audience. We'll be back to more of that in a moment, but first, let's hear a poem. This is Joni McCormick from Legacy High School. She's chosen a poem by Claude McKay, a Jamaican-born spark plug of the Harlem Renaissance, and it's got a compelling take on the meaning of a home.
My House by Claude McKay. For this peculiar tint that paints my house, peculiar in an alien atmosphere, where other houses wear a kindred hue, I have a stirring always very rare, and romance-making in my ardent blood that channels through my body like a flood. I know the dark delight of being strange, the penalty of difference in the crowd, the loneliness of wisdom among fools. Yet never have I felt but very proud, though I have suffered agonies of hell of living in my own peculiar cell. There is an exaltation of man's life, his hidden life, that he alone can feel, the blended fires that heat his veins within, chasing his metals into fine steel, are elements from his own maiden earth that the wise God bestowed on him at birth. Oh, each man's mind contains an unknown realm, walled in from other men, however near, and unimagined in their highest flight of comprehension, or of vision clear, a realm where he withdraws to contemplate infinity and his own finite state. Thence he may sometimes catch a godlike glimpse of mysteries that seems beyond life's bar. Then he may hurt his little shaft at heaven and bring down accidentally a star and drink its foamy dust like sparkling wine and echo. Accent of the laugh, divine. Then he may fall into a drunken sleep and wake up in his same house painted blue or white or green or red or brown or black, his house, his own. Whatever be the hue, the things for him will not be what they seem to average men, since he has dreamt his dream.
Joni McCormick from Legacy High School in Bismarck, doing Claude McKay's My House. If you were listening earlier to this special based around the Poetry Out Loud event in Bismarck, you heard the first part of Prairie Rose Seminole's comments to the North Dakota Poetry Out Loud crowd, which included some of her poetry. Here is more from Prairie Rose.
Sometimes the world doesn't give us the life we imagined. Poetry's not a cure-all, but it helps us to respond to the life we're actually living. As an Indigenous woman, as someone who's worked in movement spaces and community spaces, poetry has become communal and very personal. Poetry is not just self-expression, it's an offering. It is witness, and for me, it's sometimes ceremony and sometimes medicine. Writing in moments when there are no other words available. I want to share another song, because sometimes poems need melody, because speaking's not enough. And in my lineage, songs are poems. And this song I wrote for a friend who was experiencing some loss, and I found myself thinking about all of us who have experienced loss and how loss shifts something in us sometimes. More than grief, it's this feeling of a tether being cut to generations before us, and we carry that change into spaces like the one we're in today. So this song is about encouragement. It's about finding strength, and it's a reminder that when we feel alone or uncertain or in mourning, that we're still surrounded by blessing. Sometimes the song itself is a blessing. The words are in Dakota, and the words are, Creator holds us. It says, relatives take courage, Creator holds us. We are thankful for the love on the path we walk. We ride for you. We are grateful for you. Relatives, we are grateful for you.
Wakatanka Wani ya yankapi he a hill. He said a hail. He said a hail. He said a hail. He said a hail. He a hill. Mi takuyapi wakachichianki, mi takuyapi wakachichiankapi, hea hiu. He hera e haio, he sera e haio, he hera e haio, he hera e haio, hea hiu. Mi takuyapi, uniksuyapi, pila unyayapi, pila unyayapi, hiya hiyo.
We wrote that together with those badass indigenous motorcyclists that are in my short film. We're actually following some of them for a feature film now, but they've gone through so much loss in their lives, and here they come together, still able to laugh, live, ride motorcycles, and they come together to stand with each other through that grief, through that loss, and just rebuild community. And you probably know this, but sometimes we need to give ourselves permission. But you don't need permission to write, so I encourage you to find your own words, although it's great to be inspired by others. You don't need to be published to be real, whether you're drawing on your walls or your notebook, your phone notes, it's enough. Most of my poetry goes on Facebook because I'm old now. We old people use Facebook still. Nobody can narrate your life better than you. And if we don't write our own narrative, someone might. So I encourage you to keep writing. Write badly. Write honestly. Write when you're angry. Write when you're in love. All those times. Write when you don't understand. Personally, I don't write on walls anymore, but I still write to survive. I still write to remember. I still write to respond to whatever life is asking of me. Today, you young people competed, but poetry isn't really about winning. It's about being that witness, surviving, telling the truth, having fun with it, living through the emotions of that reality we're living. So thank you for sharing the words of poets. Thank you for those who are creating spaces for these young people to share and nurture this creative gift. So please continue to do that. Share in these spaces like this. We are a community and we're stronger together. So until our journeys align on the same road again, I wish you all well and thank you for listening to me.
Prairie Rose Seminole at the North Dakota Poetry Out Loud State Contest. I'm Bill Thomas, and I was there as a judge. One of my fellow judges was Anna Page, who, it turns out, has her own efforts with children and poetry, besides being the photo editor of the Fargo Forum. I asked her first what she got out of being at this contest.
I get the warm fuzzies for sure. It feels so good to be around poetry, especially for an entire day. Like, that's a special experience, but to see young people embody a poem, learn it in a very intimate way, to understand the language and also to be able to share it and recite it with an audience. I mean, those are very difficult skills. I do not get up in front of people with poems that are memorized. I think it's just an incredible skill that these young people are learning.
So as I mentioned, you do work with poetry and youth. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I spent 25 years in Montana before moving up here to North Dakota, where I've been for the last couple of years. And I was able to bring a nonprofit that I co-founded in Montana called Young Poets into North Dakota in January. We had a 12-week program, and we worked with third graders out at Kindred. There was a grant that we received through the Kindred Area Arts Partnership and the North Dakota Council on the Arts that made it possible. So we come into the classroom, we spend an hour with the kids, and we accomplish a lot in that hour. I come into the classroom and say that this is your first language. Poetry is a language that comes from the heart, and you all have your own unique metric or rhythm. And we're just learning techniques to bring out your story. And they learn how to tell stories very intuitively. I mean, we start easy with acrostic. And acrostics are where you put a word down your margins of your paper. Say it's a basalaga. You start with A, and then you go across the page, and every single line starts with the letter of that word. We start off really looking at arts as a holistic experience. It's a cultural practice, but it's also a language that everyone can share. It's a language of your heart, so you're able to express yourself. And then they read the poems out loud. So we get a poem prompt, they do writing, and you know, in 15 minutes, those third graders can really churn. When we do a lesson about the heart, we use Rita Dove's poem, and she talks about the heart being in a cage, and we talk about all the metaphors. The heart gets blamed for a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just a lump of muscle, just a thick clutch, pumping, I want, I want. And so we talk about that. I read the poem out loud. They get a sense of poetry as a language. And that's where I love that tie-in to Poetry Out Loud, because as students grow, perhaps that interest stays with them. And then in high school, this gives them an opportunity to study the art of poetry even more in depth. By about week 10, we start culling our poems. We go through and we pick our favorites. And then they get in groups and they narrow it down. And then I have an editing lesson, and nobody likes editing. And you know, I mean, editing for a third grader might be changing a word or making sure things are spelled right, but they learn that there's a process that this goes through, and then they type their work, and then those type poems are compiled into an anthology.
What does poetry bring to somebody who's not a, quote, poet, unquote?
Yeah. Well, I do like to say that everyone is a poet.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think poetry has a bad rap. It's been locked away in an ivory tower, and I find it to be a really accessible art form when we look at it as a language that anyone can achieve. For me, I just like to teach the kids that poetry lives inside of you as your first language. We're just learning how to bring it out.
Anna Page, who is an advocate and an appreciator of poetry. She helped judge the North Dakota Council on the Arts Poetry Out Loud finals. And in the nonverbal realm, she's photo editor of the forum. Poetry Out Loud is mainly about youth presenting poems. Here is Delanus Crow from Mandan High School with a straight-ahead, old-timey, sentimental piece. Good old James Whitcomb Riley's The Days Gone By.
Oh, the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. The apples in the orchard and the pathways through the rye. The chirrup of the robin and the whistle of the quail as he piped across the meadow, sweet as any nightingale. When the bloom was on the clover and the blue was in the sky, my happy heart brimmed over in the days gone by. In the days gone by, when my naked feet were tripped by the honeysuckle's tangles where the water lilies dipped, and the ripples of the river lipped the moss along the brink where the placid-eyed and lazy-footed cattle came to drink. And the tilting snipe stood fearless of the truant's wayward cry and the splashing of the swimmer in the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. The music of the laughing lip, the luster of the eye, the childish faith in fairies and Aladdin's magic ring, the simple soul reposing, glad belief in everything. When life was like a story, holding neither sob nor sigh, in the golden, olden glory of the days gone by.
This next one is kind of scary, actually. It's, I think, about paralysis. This is Adeline Picken from Wahpeton High School.
Medusa by Louise Bogan. I had come to the house in a cave of trees, facing a sheer sky. Everything moved. A bell hung ready to strike. Sun and reflection wheeled by. When the bare eyes were before me, and the hissing hair held up at a window, seen through a door, the stiff, bald eyes, the serpent on the forehead, formed in the air. This is a dead scene forever now. Nothing will ever stir. The end will never brighten it more than this, nor the rain blur. The water will always fall and will not fall, and the tipped bell make no sound. The grass will always be growing for hay deep on the ground. And I shall stand here like a shadow under the great balanced day, my eyes on the yellow dust that was listing in the wind and does not drift away.
This next poem is by Madison Vick from Bismarck High School.
The Last Morning in the Country by Leonora Spire. Dawn slips within my room to say goodbye. Buffeted. Bruised by autumn rain all night while I lay sleeping. Held to dreams again. She comes from out the violated sky, dragging her tarnished light. With dim leaves drooping, hanging all about her misty face, her eyes still wet, she stands, disconsolate beneath her veils, and yet, bravely, she spills one last bird's note from out her summer empty hand.
Her summer empty hand. Adeline Picken from Wahpeton High School picked for one of her poems a hearty call out support to the common folks.
Songs for the People by Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. Let me make the songs for the people, songs for the old and young, songs to stir like a battle cry wherever they are sung. Not for the clashing of sabers, for carnage, nor for strife,
but songs to thrill the hearts of men with more abundant life. Let me make the songs for the weary amid life's fever and fret, till hearts shall relax their tension and careworn brows forget. Let me sing for little children before their footsteps stray, sweet anthems of love and duty to float o'er life's highway. I would sing for the poor and aged when shadows dim their sight, of the bright and restful mansions where there shall be no night. Our world, so worn and weary, needs music pure and strong to hush the jangle and discords of sorrow, pain, and wrong. Music to soothe all its sorrow till war and crime shall cease, and the hearts of men grow tender, girdle the world with peace.
This next one could probably qualify as a song for the people, especially prairie people. Here is Sawyer Wilhelmy from Starkweather Public School.
The Prairie Town by Helen Santmeyer. Lovers of beauty laugh at this gray town, where dust lies thick on ragged curbside trees, and compass needle streets lead up and down and lose themselves in empty prairie seas. Here is no winding scented lane, no hill crowned with a steepled church, no garden wall of old gray stone where lilacs bloom and fill the air with fragrance when the May rains fall. But here is the unsoftened majesty of the wide earth, where all the wide streets end, and from the dusty corner one may see the full moon rise and flaming sun descend. The long main street whence farmers' teams go forth lies like an old sea road, star-pointed north.
I'm Bill Thomas. It's been a pleasure to drop into Prairie Public and bring you poems and other talk from the 2026 North Dakota Poetry Out Loud Finals in Bismarck. It's organized by the North Dakota Council on the Arts with support from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Poetry Foundation, and this year, America 250. You can see great videos of the North Dakota State Champions at prairiepublic.org and more about the whole thing at arts.nd.gov. And maybe you should go out and recite a poem to somebody now. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Bill Thomas. It is sure nice to hear your voice back on Prairie Public's airwaves again. Thanks for sharing those performances from this year's Poetry Out Loud. I'm Eric Etheridge. Thank you for listening, and I'll chat with you tomorrow.